ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गी मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we finally come to the last chapter of Bhakti Sutras, the fifth chapter. So today we will see a very short, very brief introduction to the chapter. So this chapter is called Mukhya Bhakti Mahima. So Mukhya Bhakti, or Mukhya Bhakti means, Mukhya means generally the word Mukhya in Hindi means important or primary. So here we can consider that the best or the primary devotion and its glories are being mentioned. So this can also be considered, this chapter can be considered as a summary of Bhakti Sutras and also mentioning some things which are important. So in each and every work that is undertaken, the starting and the ending has to be about whatever is very important. So the same way here too, we can say that whatever was explained in the first chapter, whatever is going to be explained here are also important. In between are also important, but these are very important stuff. So we know that bhakti is of two types. One is aparabhakti and parabhakti. So the same can be termed differently as Gauni Bhakti and Mukhya Bhakti or Mukhya Bhakti, Mukhya Bhakti. Not sure about the word though. So Mukhya Bhakti we can say, Mukhya Bhakti also we can say. So Gauni Bhakti we know based on the gunas, or based on whether a person is an artha, arthaarthi or jijnyasu. Whereas Mukhya Bhakti is where a person is one with Ishvara. And how would such a person behave? How would the activities of such a person be? How would the person's nature be? How would his words be? How would his face be? So all those we can clearly see in this particular chapter. And this is kind of very important. This is very important because this bhakti, the supreme devotion, is something which is very essential in life. So without this, life becomes incomplete. Life has a void. Life is not, we'll feel that something is lacking in life. We'll feel that life is incomplete, sorrowful, temporary, changing, etc. So this is something which is kind of very important to achieve in life. And if we have to achieve something, so if we want to achieve something or achieve this particular devotion, the simplest or the easiest way to achieve something is by looking at people who have achieved it. So trying to see as to how such people behave. So that is the very easiest way. So the best way to learn driving is by looking at a person who drives. So the same applies here too. So what is, in simple words, how would such a bhakta behave? What is the glory of such a bhakti? The glory of such true devotion is that such a bhakta will always be thinking about Ishvara. Whether externally showing the devotion, while some bhaktas might display affection, some bhaktas might show that affection externally, some bhaktas might not, so it doesn't matter. Ultimately, such bhaktas or all those bhaktas will be remembering Ishvara. So that's why we find bhaktas in different ways. There have been bhaktas like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who have externally displayed emotions of devotion, singing, dancing, crying, etc. Meera Bhai and others. At the same time, we have also had gopis. We have also had people like Shankara. Shankara has been a bhakta, a true bhakta of Ishvara. There have been jnanis as bhaktas, and there have been bhaktas who externally display as well. So it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's not whether a person externally displays emotion or not. What really matters is whether a person is remembering that everything is one Ishvara. For a bhakta, as Narada said, recollecting whatever he said in the first chapter, Naradastu tadarpita kilacharata tad vismarane parama vyakulata. For Narada, as per Narada, the definition of bhakti is complete surrender, complete and total surrender to Ishvara, and being very sad when Ishvara is forgotten. So even as a fish in land struggles the same way, a bhakta should struggle on forgetting Ishvara. So such struggle doesn't mean that we have to weep, we have to cry, and we have to be like a devadas. That's not the meaning here. So fish which is on land will not start crying, I am on land, I am on land, I am on land. What will the fish do? The fish will try to get into water. So when Ishvara is forgotten, yato yato nischarati manaha chanchalam astiram tadastato niyamyetad atmanyeva vasham nayet. Whenever Ishvara is forgotten, remind the mind again, pull the mind back to Ishvara. So that is what a true bhakta would do. A true bhakta will not cry. A true bhakta will become sad when Ishvara is forgotten. But that sadness will make the bhakta go and remember Ishvara again. Get back onto Ishvara. And the simplest way to achieve this is by offering all actions onto Ishvara. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So yat karoshi, whatever you do, yat karoshi yat ashnasi, whatever you eat, yat juhoshi, whatever you offer onto sacred fire, dadasi yat, whatever giving charity you give, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, whatever tapas you do, tat kurushva madarpanam, do all those as an offering unto me. So that's what the same in simple words of Ramana Maharshi, Ishvara arpitam na ichchaya kritam. So performing actions without craving for fruit, at the same time offering it to Ishvara. In that case, such a bhakta will always be blissful. So why bhakti, why mukhya bhakti, why not go for normal bhakti? Why do we want all this? So many times we may ask the question as to why? So why? Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karoti yaha lipyate nasapapena padma patramiva ambasa. So brahmanyadaya karmani. So after offering everything to Ishvara, sangam tyaktva karoti yaha, without getting attached to the action. How not attached to the action? Because I am an yantram ni yantri, jnan yantram ni yantri, as Amma would say. So I am just an instrument, you are the person controlling this instrument. So without getting attached means everything is done by Ishvara. Oh Ishvara, you are doing it. Whatever is happening here is because of you only. So in that case, such a bhakta, sangam tyaktva karoti yaha lipyate nasa papena, such a person is not tainted by papam. Patma patram ivambasa, even as a lotus leaf, the lotus leaf is in water, but it is not wet at all. Water doesn't taint it. It is in water, but still it is not tainted by water. So in the same way, a bhakta who offers everything to Ishvara doesn't get attached to the action or the fruit thereof. Such a bhakta will not be tainted by the result or the fruit of those actions. So as Amma says, if something good happens, Ishvara's grace. If something bad happens, Ishvara's will. And with such an attitude, whatever happens will be blissful. So there will be only bliss. So avito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. When there is such a bhakta who offers everything to Ishvara, who doesn't have any ego sense, who doesn't get identified with any action, around such a bhakta, bliss will dance. And in this case, such a bhakta doesn't have any raga dvesham. So there is no like and dislike, because everything is one Ishvara, everything is ordained by one Ishvara, everything is one Ishvara, everything has come from Ishvara. So how can it be different from Ishvara? Isha avasyam idam sarvam yat kancha jagatyam jagat. Whatever is there in this world, Isha avasyam, it is pervaded by Ishvara. Therefore, tena tyaktena bunjitaha. Bunjitaha enjoyed through thyagam. What thyagam? The renunciation of ego, the renunciation of differences, the renunciation of dvaitam. And such a case, a person will be able to experience the prasadam, the true prasadam of Ishvara. What is that? Raga dvesha vyuktaisu vishyan indriyaihi charan. So a person who doesn't have any raga dvesham and thereby enjoys all objects. How enjoy all objects? He enjoys all objects, but atmanyeva vasham nayet. So he directs it towards the atman. That means he knows that all objects are one atman. So raga dvesha vyuktaisu vishyan indriyaihi charan. Atma vashyer vidheyatma prasadam adigacchati. So such a person who sees everything as one Ishvara, such a person gets the prasadam, the greatest blessing. What is the blessing? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanihi. The prasadam which will remove all dukkham, which will remove sorrow once and for all. So that is the goal. That is why we are seeking this true bhakti. We are seeking this true bhakti. We want this true bhakti, true devotion. Why? Because this true devotion is the way to remove sorrow, negate sorrow completely once and for all, and thereby rejoice in total bliss. So we'll see as to how to achieve this state of eternal bliss through seeing or perceiving Ishvara everywhere, and how we can externally display emotion or devotion, and the different stages that a bhakta can go through, different visions, different relationships towards Ishvara, etc. in this chapter when we see the various sutras. So we'll start the chapter with the first sutra in the next day. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to become a true bhakta and thereby ever rejoice in bliss. We'll continue tomorrow. Namaskar.